It's 6 hours Universal Time. Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
Suicide car bomb kills at least four in Mogadishu. Sierra Leone's north remains on lockdown over Ebola. I'm Victor Beatty reporting from Washington. A suicide car bomber in Somalia's capital Mogadishu Sunday killed at least four people and wounded several others in an attack that apparently was to target U.S. trained forces. The security minister said the attack occurred in the Waberi district near the international airport. He said officials knew in advance of the attack and the blast took place during pursuit of the vehicle. The Al-Shabaab group has claimed responsibility. On Thursday, an Al-Shabaab commander and three other militants were killed in a confrontation with Somali forces in the southern town of Kurtinweri. In Sierra Leone, a five-day Ebola lockdown in the North Tongkolili district was extended Sunday for about 2 weeks. The government has also imposed additional screening measures at Freetown's International Airport after two workers apparently became ill with the deadly virus. A U.S. lawmaker just back from a fact-finding trip to Liberia and speaking with the 2,400 U.S. troops of the 101st Airborne Division deployed there, said Sunday the Ebola epidemic has eased. But Senator Chris Coons, appearing on U.S. television, said it's premature to withdraw U.S. forces.
Our troops should remain, some of them, for the rest of the year to help make sure that Liberians can transition our emergency Ebola treatment units into community-level health clinics and transition our high-tech military mobile testing labs into Liberian-run local labs so that going forward, this epidemic really is brought to an end in Liberia.
He says the raging epidemic back in September is now down to a few embers scattered across the country. He says a new strategy is needed. He'll make his recommendations known to the Obama administration. This is VOA News. In the United Kingdom, a British nurse who contracted Ebola in Sierra Leone is fighting for her life in a London hospital. Pauline Kafferke's condition now listed as critical. The outgoing chief of the UN anti-Ebola mission Friday said in Accra, Ghana, the world can stamp out the deadly virus in West Africa by year's end, but tough work remains. Anthony Banbury is the UN Secretary General's special representative on Ebola and head of the UN Ebola mission.
We have not come anywhere close to ending the crisis. We've done a lot in 90 days, a very successful response effort. But we have a long way to go. It's going to go on for not just weeks, but, you know, some months more. But I believe we will do it in 2015. I believe we'll end Ebola in 2015. And we're going to do it by working very closely, not just with the governments of the countries, but the communities.
Mr. Banbury is being replaced by veteran humanitarian official Ould Sheikh Ahmed of Mauritania. The World Health Organization says more than 20,000 have been infected by Ebola. More than 7,900 have died. At least six UN peacekeepers in Mali were wounded Sunday by a blast in the country's volatile northeast after their vehicle was apparently struck by a roadside bomb. Al-Qaeda-linked militants appear to have made something of a comeback in recent weeks after being routed by a French-led intervention force 2 years ago. Forces loyal to Libya's internationally recognized government Sunday launched more airstrikes on the country's biggest steel plant in Misrata, hitting the western city allied to rival Islamist groups. It was the second consecutive day of such attacks as the North African country suffers a breakdown in law and order following the 2011 ouster of longtime dictator Muammar Gaddafi. African heads of state are to meet later this month in Angola to decide how to disarm Rwandan Hutu rebels still operating in the troubled east of the Democratic Republic of Congo and have refused a January 2nd deadline to disarm. The French press agency says less than a quarter of the fighters from the Democratic Forces for the Liberation of Rwanda, or FDLR, have turned themselves in. Nearly 150 migrants trying to cross the Mediterranean in makeshift boats have been rescued off the Spanish coast in less than a week. The latest incident involved more than 50 people rescued by a passing ferry off the southern Spanish coast Friday. In sports, Southampton's Senegalese winger Sadio Mane has been ruled out of this month's Africa Cup competition after sustaining a knee injury during a Premier League win over Arsenal on New Year's Day. Senegal is set to compete in Group C action beginning January 17 along with Ghana, Algeria, and South Africa in Equatorial Guinea. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Monday, the 5th day of January, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Sierra Leone introduces new Ebola measures at Freetown Airport.
We want to make sure that our airport continues to respect the standard operating procedures for enhanced screening of all airport staff and passengers.
Abdullahi Berete is Sierra Leone's government spokesman. Gambian diaspora planned a worldwide protest this month against what they call unlawful arrest following an attempted coup. A suicide car bomber killed at least 4 people in Somalia's capital on Sunday. And South Sudan's military accuses rebels of launching new attacks.
The SPLA as a national army of South Sudan, we are committed to the regional and international effort to bring peace to South Sudan. And it is the rebel attacking the SPLA position in Nasir and all these towns that they are claiming.
Colonel Philip Agwo is South Sudan's military spokesman, who will examine Senegal's family planning policy as part of VOA's Africa Baby Boom series. And clashes by farmers and herders add to tension in Central African Republic. Those stories, plus Mark Oldman Sports and our listener of the day, are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The government of Sierra Leone on Sunday introduced new Ebola screening measures at the Freetown International Airport after 2 workers there apparently contracted the virus. Government spokesman Abdullahi Berete says the measures are intended to reassure the public that Sierra Leone airports continue to respect the standard operating procedures for all airport workers and passengers.
We just had a case a few days ago, wherein a worker at the airport who is attached at the restaurant got infected with confirmed Ebola. So that's a red flag for us, recognizing that so far, since the outbreak of the Ebola virus in Sierra Leone, we have not exported any patient out of our airport who has confirmed to be Ebola positive based on the symptoms from our airport. That is why we alerted all our stakeholders, and we had a meeting with the workers at the airport, and we explained to them that we are going to put in enhanced screening that is based on the standard operating procedures for all airport workers.
Now, are these new measures are for Sierra Leoneans who are working at the airport, or are they just intended for people who are coming in or going out?
These are specifically targeting the workers. It is going to be round the clock. And for passengers arriving and those that are departing, we still subject them to the same surveillance system because, as I mentioned to you, we want to make sure that our airport continues to respect the standard operating procedures for enhanced screening of all airport staff and passengers. So these are just other measures we are implementing just to reassure the public that both the workers at the airport are not at risk following this one incident, and also to further rekindle the confidence in both our passengers that are arriving and departing that there is no cause for alarm.
Mr. Berete, what can you tell us about the extension of a lockdown in the northern part of Sierra Leone?
Well, the extension, as you know, the western area surge that was declared by His Excellency the President came to an end officially on the 1st of this month, January. But the President has also encouraged people in the respective districts upcountry to bring in measures that they think will go a long way towards the mitigation of the spread of the virus. And so far, we are seeing a lot of dividend to that respect. The reason being, imagine yesterday we reported for the whole country 37 confirmed cases, and today it's 30. So the fluctuation in itself from the hotspots up country, particularly in Potloko district, Bombali district, as well as Kono district, they are now dwindling in terms of confirmed cases for Ebola.
Abdullahi Berete is Sierra Leone's government spokesman. He was speaking with me from the capital, Freetown. Gambian diaspora are planning worldwide demonstrations later this month to protest what they say are unlawful arrests and investigations by Gambian President Yahya Jammeh following a failed attempted coup by a group of dissidents led by the former commander of the Presidential Guard. U.S.-based Gambian rights activist Usainu Mbenga tells Ricky Stryak the purpose of the protest is to call international attention to what the group fears will be a brutal crackdown and retribution by President Jammeh.
This is what happens because the Dragnet has already started arresting innocent people, people who didn't have anything to do with this, including soldiers and family members.
When you say people who weren't involved in it, what do you mean? Do you have information about family members being detained?
Yes. You know, it is, you know, tangible information of family members being arrested who were related to the alleged coup makers.
Is there concern in the following week that the backlash will continue, that the arrests will continue?
Yes, we do. And knowing him and the regime and how you see what would happen when you attempt this, but we just go back to the same thing. We just always try. We have always reminded him of how he came into power. And don't ever rule out that some forces, you know, will attempt to do what you did to come into power. But yes, the Dragnet, we are very, very, very concerned about this Dragnet, you know, that has already been unleashed. So that's why we are not just going to sit down and let it unfold in front of us without resistance. So, you know, we are planning on the usual way of how we protested, you know, barbarism, you know, for the last many years. So we're going to protest it, yes.
How are you and other diaspora members going to protest this?
Right now we are planning to organize, you know, like simultaneous organizations in the US, the UK, in Scandinavia, possibly, you know, in Dakar, you know, just to show our disgust.
Do you know when these protests would take place?
Yeah, it's in the making. So we wanted to coordinate it, you know, to really, you know, like attract international attention, particularly, you know, African parties, ECOWAS, AU, you know, other international organizations, the UN, to really know what is really happening. And that tentatively, you know, we are saying the 26th, but, you know, it's not, you know, confirmed yet.
When you mentioned ECOWAS, I saw another prominent member of the Gambian diaspora. He was in the press saying he hoped Senegal would intervene in some way. And you mentioned ECOWAS. What is the responsibility of regional powers such as Senegal and the other ECOWAS leaders to oversee these investigations or make sure that that Jammeh's investigations into the attempted coup are legal and adhere to human rights?
Yes, you know, that is our concern because the vast majority of Gambians, or we call ourselves Senegambians, that are very concerned about what happens, you know, in the region. These bodies can play a very significant role, you know, in preempting any of these, you know, barbaric behavior that he's been known for. This is not the first time, you know, like there has been attempts, you know, to really uproot his regime, you know. The terror, you know, that he unleashed was just abominable, you know.
That was Usainu Mbenga, a member of the Gambian diaspora with the Democratic Union of Gambian Activists. He was speaking with Ricky Stryak from Alabama, USA. A suicide car bomber in Somalia's capital, Mogadishu, has killed at least 4 people and wounded 5 others. Security Ministry spokesman Mohamed Yusuf Osman told VOA that security forces have surrounded the car in Waberi district near Mogadishu's international airport when an al-Shabaab militant detonated explosives in the vehicle.
Today we have received a suicide bomber, one of the Shabaab targets. The security forces like NISA or Somali police force, they are aware of that Shabaab are going to make a suicide inside the city today. Of course, when we get that info, we restricted everywhere and we put everywhere our security forces. Then when we get the target, the security forces have surrounded the vehicle. One of the vehicles of Shabaab, those wanted to make today a suicide. After that, when he really sighted his target, he tried to make a suicide inside the civilian. And unfortunately, today we lost 4 of our civilians who was moving around the city or who was moving around on the street or driving their vehicles. We really condemn that news from Shabaab. And the only thing they want to send is a message to the world that Shabaab is still alive. And what we can say is Shabaab, they are not alive, they're dead, and this will not be the message they want to send to the world.
That was Somali Government Security Ministry spokesman Mohamed Yusuf Osman. He was speaking with Abdulaziz Osman of VOA Somali Service. Today is Monday, the 5th day of January, and you're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Please send your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Daybreak Africa time is 15 minutes past the hour. South Sudan's military is accusing rebels loyal to former Vice President Riek Machar of launching new attacks in the year-long conflict. But the rebels have also accused government forces and pro-government militias of carrying out a series of attacks in Unity and Upper Nile states since Saturday. The rebels say at least 6 civilians have been killed. South Sudan military spokesman Colonel Philip Aguo says it is the rebels who have been attacking the town of Nasser near the border with Ethiopia since December 31st in violation of the cessation of hostilities agreement.
The rebels are misleading the international media by accusing the SPLA. This is a false propaganda. It is the rebels that have rejected the ceasefire, and we have invited the IGAD to send monitors to the location where the rebels are claiming. We are ready for monitoring system, and the rebels have rejected the idea of monitoring on the ground.
But Colonel, the rebels have accused your government forces of launching attacks in the past 2 days, particularly in Unity and Upper Nile states, against their positions. You're denying that.
Yes, it is the opposite. It is the rebels attacking, and we have invited IGAD monitors to go to the ground to verify. The rebels have rejected the monitoring mechanism that has been established by IGAD. SPLA is ready to go to the ground. We have our monitors with the IGAD. Rebels are rejecting the idea of monitoring.
What can you tell us, Colonel, in terms of casualties?
It was a shelling. The rebels were shelling that town, and we have wounded. More than 10 soldiers have been wounded in that shelling. The rebels have received weapons and ammunition from Khartoum in a place called Boz. They are preparing to attack SPLA position in Rang and oil areas in Adar and Faloj. They are also now advancing toward Bentiu, coming from Pantau Hijlij in the Republic of Sudan. They are preparing a place called Karasana, and they are moving toward Bentiu. This location, Bentiu and Nasser, there are United Nations mission bases, and the United Nations mission knows who is in control of those towns and who is attacking. You can just verify from the United Nations and from the IGAD.
Colonel, I know you are a military person, but it's like the people of South Sudan are dancing this dance all over again instead of peace. Prior to the holidays, the Christmas and the New Year, there were appeals to the both sides to make sure that peace comes to the country this New Year. What can you tell the people of South Sudan now?
The SPLA as a national army of South Sudan is committed. We are committed to the peace. We are committed to the regional and international effort to bring peace to South Sudan. We don't want our people to continue suffering. And this is why we are calling for international monitoring mechanism to be stationed in all the towns in South Sudan to verify who is violating the ceasefire. I repeat again, SPLA is committed to peace, and it is the rebel attacking the SPLA position in Nasir and all these towns that they are claiming.
Colonel Philip Aguo, South Sudan's military spokesman, he was speaking with me from the capital, Juba. Birth control is a divisive issue across much of Africa. It challenges culture, religion, and patriarchy. As Christine Roby reports from Dakar, bringing religious leaders into the discussion in Senegal has been an important step to overcoming resistance. Here is her story as part of VOA's Africa Baby Boom series.
Senegal's population of more than 14 million people is 94% Muslim. So when the time came to tackle the issue of birth control as a matter of public policy, health professionals were not the only ones brought into the discussion. The Ministry of Health teamed with local health clinics and religious leaders to forge a new outreach on birth control. Guy Kumbase, manager for social and maternity services at the Senegalese Association for Family Welfare, says the first step was to create a common understanding of the benefits of family planning. She says religious leaders thought the message being sent was to not have children. So when we explain that we are not saying no longer have children, but instead space out births for health of the mother and for the health of the child, things started to change. Guy says there is a pool of imams who agree with family planning, and these are the same leaders who are doing outreach to inform women, telling them to come adopt a method of contraception. Since the campaign was launched in 2011 on the health imperatives of spacing births, infant mortality in Senegal has dropped to about 2%. Guy credits such gains to imam support. But one of the most essential components in the family planning equation is the husband. Especially in more traditional societies where women have less autonomy, getting the men on board can prove more challenging. Guy says bringing the MOS into the effort to disseminate information about the accessibility of affordable contraception and the need for marital support made a difference. She says some husbands are even coming along for the consultation.
Ce qu'on ne pouvait pas avoir avant. Par contre, celles qui ne viennent pas avec leur époux, ils ont l'aval du mari.
We didn't see this before, she says. For those that do not come with their husband, they have the approval of their husband. It is rare that women come without prior consent from their husband, she says. Ida Noem, a midwife at the Association for Family Welfare, says families are now seeing some other benefits of spacing their children.
La femme aura le temps de s'occuper de son mari et elle prendra soin de son mari et de ses enfants.
She says spacing the birth of children gives parents the time to raise the child well and spend time with their husband and child. She says women can also avoid abortion. The use of contraception among married women in Senegal increased to 16% in 2013. Up 4% in the 2 years since the campaign began. A World Health Organization report also calculates a 6% decrease in the maternal mortality rate over the same time. With the collaborative efforts of faith leaders and increased conversations about health and safety, Noem says Senegal is trying to build stronger families. Kristen Roby for VOA News, Dakar.
The International Crisis Group said last month that a hidden conflict is underway in rural parts of the Central African Republic. The conflict is between cattle herders, who are mostly Muslims from the Piu ethnic group, and farmers, who are mostly Christians or animists. Livestock experts are looking for ways to restore friendly relations between the communities and to prevent more of the violence that has torn the country apart for the past 2 years. Nick Long reports from Bambari, a town on the cattle trail.
A mission of livestock experts from a National Cattle Herders Federation, international aid groups and UN and government agencies recently visited rural areas of the Central African Republic. The group found that nomadic and semi-nomadic cattle herders are generally not welcome in agricultural areas. Clashes develop when the herders come under attack and then retaliate. Almost inevitably, the fighting takes on religious or ethnic overtones. Displaced people living at a camp in Bambari told VOA they had fled from the Pearl. This man, Yagbanga Vianney, says, "We, the Christians, the Central African people, are in difficulty because the Pearl are making war on the Christians. That's why we have taken refuge at this site." Most CAR residents are Christians, while the Pearl, a small minority in the nation of 5 million people, are usually Muslims. Recently, aid workers say about 1,000 Christians have been relocating to Bambari every week to escape dangerous conditions in their home villages. The attacks on villages often seem to be reprisals for attacks on the Pearl, usually carried out by anti-Balaka militia groups. This man, Ngeri Bisikoa, tells VOA his village was attacked and many houses burned by the Pearl, who thought the area was occupied by anti-Balaka members. The violence around Bambari has mainly been happening along two roads leading south. They seem to be front lines between anti-Balaka coming from the west and the Pearl, who have been driven out of many of their grazing grounds. A health worker at Bambari Hospital, who gave his name as Alex, explained.
Okay, this area is occupied by Bororo's people, who are cattlemen, the Pearl. But there is invasion of Balaka people there. That's why all the time there are movement, there is fighting on this way.
Much of Bambari is controlled by a Pearl warlord, Ali Darassa, who has set up his own movement called the Union for Peace in the CAR, or UPC, its acronym in French. The UPC spokesman, Captain Ahmad Nejad, blamed the anti-Balaka for most of the burned villages, but he acknowledged that Muslims have committed reprisals.
La quasi-totalité de ces villages qui sont incendiés, c'est incendié par des anti-Balaka.
Even if Muslims do sometimes burn a village, Captain Nejad said, there will have been a reason, and so long as the anti-Balaka don't touch anyone, there won't be any reprisals. A seasonal migration of cattle from north to south is now underway, and the joint mission of livestock experts warned this could lead to further violence. The experts recommend placing peacekeepers near the Chadian border to help minimize violent incidents. Nick Long for VOA News, Bambari.
It's coming up at 25 minutes past the hour time now for Daybreak Africa Sports. And here is Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. A very good Monday morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, James. In our Daybreak Africa Sports News, we focus on football. A goal scored by winger Thuso Pala in the 81st minute lifted hosts South Africa to a 1-0 victory over Zambia in an Orange Africa Cup of Nations build-up match at the Orlando Stadium in Soweto, South Africa on Sunday. Despite the narrow loss, Zambia's coach Ona Janza is optimistic about his team's prospect at the Nations Cup, which starts on the 17th of January.
Going by our last three games, I think we were so aggressive going towards the opponent's goal mouth. But in today's game, of course, maybe we didn't attempt so much going forward. We tried to make amends on the second striker. We wanted to see what Chisamba can do as a second striker from the deep midfield. Today's game was a good eye-opener for us to know where we stand. As a team, we didn't do a lot of striking. And the unfortunate situation is that even obvious chances that came our way, we did not utilize. I think we had we were the first to have a clear-cut chance. I think Jackson Mwanza was in front of the goal, which was almost yawning.
Zambia won the cup in 2012 in Gabon and Equatorial Guinea, a very sentimental victory given the history of tragedy that took place there. Have you set any target for the competition?
I, for one, as a coach, there's nothing that I would love in my career than paying my country the best reward, like giving them the cup. Of course, I have to, again, focus on the players themselves. With the branding of new players and old players, the mileage of expectation, of course, may be too high for them to think about winning the cup. But to them, the target will be to come out of the group stage as the best two. Maybe go to the quarterfinals, struggle, go to the semifinals. But that will be for the players. But for me as a coach, to be in the finals, and for the fans is to give them the cup. So I think if the cup will go to Zambia, it shouldn't be a surprise because we are ready for.
That was Ona Janza, coach of Zambia's Chipolopolo, speaking in Johannesburg, South Africa. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports News. I'm Mark Omer in Johannesburg, South Africa. Back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Mark. Have a good day. Our listener mail for this Monday morning comes from Ambrose Agio of Makurdi in Benin State, Nigeria. He says, "Dear VOA, I think the assurance given by the Vice President of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, Namadi Sambo, that the 2015 election will be free and fair is a welcome New Year's message. I think it is meant to allay fears from the minds of not only Nigerians, but also the global community." We thank you, Ambrose Agio of Makurdi in Benin State, Nigeria, for your comment. And please send your viewpoints to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. Suspected Boko Haram militants have seized a military base in the northeast Nigerian town of Baga. Local residents said the armed Islamist group overwhelmed troops after an hour-long battle at a facility near Lake Chad. Soldiers and civilians reportedly fled the area following multiple attacks on Saturday. And a suicide car bomber in Somalia's capital, Mogadishu, has killed at least 4 people. Security Ministry spokesman Mohammed Yusuf Osman told VOA security forces have surrounded the car in Wambari district near Mogadishu's International Airport. And that is it for this Monday, January 5th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for starting this week with us. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Tracy Carter, the reporters Peter Clarty and Ricky Stryak, as well as post editor Mark O'Woman, I'm James Butte in Washington, hoping that you will have a productive week.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.